Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, air pollution and climate change are certainly interlinked. We know that air pollution is a silent public health emergency. According to the World Health Organization, it's responsible for 7 million premature deaths each year and accounts for about a quarter of all heart attack deaths and about a third of all deaths from stroke, lung cancer, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Climate change is the other side of the coin of environmental impacts on global public health, and we see the rapidly changing climate as far-reaching and catastrophic health impacts, the largest really burdening the poor, who have contributed least to greenhouse gas emissions. One thinks here of the KZN floods last year, but also in the context of South Africa, when we talk about air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions, we have to be mindful of the fact that we are struggling to keep the lights on and provide the ability for individuals to earn a livelihood. It's that old chestnut of lives versus livelihoods here, and the implementation of a minimum emission standard has been a fraught process so far. We know the Department of Forestry and Fisheries and Environment Minister Barbara Creasy appointed a consultative and advisory forum to review what's called the MES issue in the Highveld and Waterberg, where Eskom and others are emitting excessive SOx, NOx and other greenhouse and air pollutants. To talk about this, I'm joined now by Etienne Rubbers, who's co-founder of RenewE, a developer of renewable energy and gas projects. Etienne, good to chat again. You were appointed by the minister to this advisory forum. What is your mandate?
The mandate is really to approach communities and understand what they really want, what are their concerns, and to, after that consultation, analyze all the data, look at what's required and what could assist the minister with her decision making, and put together a report for her to consider.
Now, it's a complex problem, isn't it? Because you've got Eskom applying for postponements ever since the MES was mandated. We've got NGOs suing the department. You've got Eskom suing the department as well. So, I mean, it's a really complex, difficult area. What do you see as the primary challenge here in ensuring that we comply with these minimum emission standards?
Michael, the difficulty is we've got old coal-fired plants which were designed with limited emission reduction equipment. And now you need to retrofit those plants with the necessary equipment, but you don't have space to install that equipment. Investing new money in an old coal-fired power plant is questionable because you know that coal-fired plant will shut down in 5 years' time.
So the question really does boil down to, you know, how we balance the competing interests here, because at the same time, you're doing health damage by not allowing people the ability to earn a living. You know, we had a similar debate during the pandemic. It was lives versus livelihoods. And if people are not earning a living, they're not able to eat a healthy, balanced diet. And so that has a health impact too. You know, what's the solution?
It's right. There's two extremes which are quite unpalatable. You either have a choice of you pollute and you have light and you don't destroy the economy, but you make people sick, or you shut down the coal-fired plants which are operating unlawfully and we all sit in the dark. Now, I wish I knew the solution. I think South Africa's got a big problem, and it needs to be a just transition in that we need to create employment for everyone in the coal mining sector. And that ranges from truckers that transport the coal to coal miners to people operating the coal-fired power stations, plus all the people who support the power stations through various services.
And the forum, I believe, you know, has been conducting these public participation processes over the last few weeks in Mpumalanga and the Waterberg region, in Malakleni, Witbank. I think anyone who's ever driven through to the Kruger National Park will know just how central coal is to Imalakleni in particular. What is it that the communities are telling you? What have you learned during these consultative on-the-ground tours?
I think people are concerned that they are getting ill and there's more asthma and more respiratory diseases. Even more concerning is the requirement to have jobs. That is by far the biggest concern from the the communities, and it's quite loud and clear. It was jobs, jobs, jobs.
Is there a sense from these communities that government is hearing them? Because often when we talk about the just energy transition, it's mentioned that we have to ensure that workers in the coal regions are transitioned into new forms of employment. I don't know what that new form of employment might be, though. I mean, it has been put to me that there is some construction work in the rollout of renewables. But beyond that, do you see this transition creating the kinds of jobs that we're going to be losing in the coal mining sector?
Unfortunately not. I think there will be jobs created through new renewable energy plants and with the transition. But a lot of those jobs will not be suitable for mine workers who are very good at mining but don't have the necessary skills for the knowledge economy.
I've had it put to me that potentially there is some agriculture potential in that region as well. Is that the kind of work that you might be able to transition a low or semi-skilled miner into? And do you think there'd be appetite for that in the region?
We did a tour of 800 kilometers around Mpumalanga, and it's clear that most of the industry is related to coal. The only other industry that's meaningful is really agriculture. And yes, it does create employment, and it's the scope to increase agriculture. And that's an important aspect that South Africa needs to look at.
Now, your forum, you've obviously been given a timeline here with which to report back to the minister. What's that timeline? And so far, what are you going to be advising the minister based on the kind of research and experience you've had over the last few weeks?
Michael, the deadline for the submission of the reports from the forum is the end of February next year. It's a very tall order. We've requested for an extension of that time period, and that's still being considered. Regarding the interim recommendations, we have some thoughts, but it's something that the forum still needs to deliberate and come to a conclusion.
I don't want you to be jumping the gun on that point. When it comes to the role players here and who's ultimately responsible, you know, between the Department of Fisheries, Forestry and the Environment, local government, national government, DPE, Department of Mineral Resources, there are lots of role players here. It sounds to me like we're not bringing all of these role players together to think and cut through the various silos. I often say silo was created in a bank. I think it was also created in the bureaucracy of government. Is that your sense as well, that we're not tackling this with a cross-cutting kind of multi-departmental stakeholder approach?
Exactly. I think too much emphasis is put on the DFFE. Well, it's not only their responsibility. They need to take a leading role, and I fully support that. But it talks to the Department of Minerals and Energy regarding the IRP. It talks to the housing departments in that, do we insulate people's homes? Do we construct RDP houses so that they're suitable for energy efficiency, so that people don't have to burn coal in their houses to keep warm? It's across several departments in the country that we all need to work together to get to a solution. It's not just the DFFE.
Absolutely. As we've said, the problem is complex. It's a bit of a mess at the moment, but at least we do have this this forum that's been constituted by the minister to report back on a way forward as we look to strike the right balance here between lives and livelihoods when it comes to minimum emission standards in the coal regions of South Africa. That was Etienne Rubbers, co-founder of Renewe, a developer of renewable energy and gas projects here on Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.